Are like in the beginning class anyways, right? So this is just a warm up. Okay, so as usual, we'll start with Surya Namaskar, one round, and then 30 seconds of Shavasana afterwards. Okay, so just go at your own pace. Okay, you can get up and we'll begin. Focus. Well, we can refocus if I forget how to get up. Okay. So this class is the seventh month in the advanced course. So just one more class to go for the advanced part of the course. And then after that I'll have another course, probably, I don't know, but maybe, you know, either later in the fall or maybe 2011 or something for the the expert course, where I'll go through the all 20 Kundalini Kriyas. So in this book, we actually finish the advanced classes, the advanced practices last month. So we're on the Kriya Yoga section of this book. So this is where they cover the 20 Kundalini Kriyas of Kriya Yoga. But they also cover, you know, a lot of asanas, a lot of, you know, other breathing techniques. Like, again, so far we've just been practicing Nadi Shodhana, but in the last section they cover, you know, Bhastrika, Kapalbhati, you know, all of the other pranayama techniques. So I've been thinking about how I was going to approach the last part of the book. And I've decided that what I'm going to do is basically, you know, I'll leave it up to, you know, people to decide for themselves what they want to practice. I won't cover the asanas or the pranayama techniques that are given in the last section. I'll use the last section, this section of the book will basically be used in the expert course, where I'll go through the 20 Kundalini Kriyas of Kriya Yoga. Because basically, that's basically what you end up practicing. Basically, the final practice is just those 20 Kundalini Kriyas, right? So, everything else I've shown you, like what I'll do today, month 7, and next month, month 8, those basically cover all of the prerequisites required for Kriya Yoga, the Kundalini Kriyas themselves. So I think I'm just going to stick with that. there's also Yoga Nidra is covered in this section of the book, and that we'll do next month.
When you do Kundalini Kriya Yoga, you still have to do your other Surya Namaskar or something like that?
Well, usually, I mean, I do those three practices. Last one from Roshoji, kind of the Surya Namaskar, Spinal Twist, and Agnistar Kriya. Yeah. I usually do those first, and then I begin the 20 Kundalini Kriyas, right?
But according to the book, it is that should be done every day when you're doing it?
Okay. Well, I mean, they say at least do some, you know, Surya Namaskar, right? You know, as a minimum before you do the, you know, just to get the body moving, get the blood flowing, you know, and then you can begin the Kundalini Kriyas, right? So, So actually there is one asana that I actually do practice from this last section. So I'll just cover that one today, and that would pretty much be it for this book in the advanced part of the course anyways. I'll use this book again for the Kundalini Kriyas themselves, but for right now, I'll be more or less finished with this book. So the asana is the wheel pose. Actually, I showed it to you. It was one of the ones we used. Yes, exactly that one. So we'll do that one today. They have another one given, the bridge. And I'll show you one more I showed you before, the shoulder bridge. Anyways, I'll show you. Kind of as a preparation for doing the wheel. Right? So let's focus the camera. I'll just move my mat around. Like that, I think. Should be good?
Yeah.
So I'll be like this, I guess. Right? It's good?
Good.
Okay, so the first one here they give you is Setu Asana, which means bridge pose. Pretty simple, you just start out like this, right? And you want to keep your knees straight. You're going to lift yourself up on your arms as high as you can. You let your head drop back and you point your toes forward as much as you can as well, right? So basically it's just like this. I'll just demonstrate, right? And then back down.
And you hold your breath.
And you hold your breath. You inhale and hold. Right? Inhale deeply, hold the breath while raising. And then, you know, exhale when returning to starting position.
And how do you start then?
Yeah, just like this.
You have to bend your legs?
No, you push your pelvis up. Right? Yes, there you go. That's it. Yep. Okay, good. Perfect. And then exhale and come back down. Good. So the next practice is called the wheel, Chakrasana. So that one. So again, to prepare for that one, another preparation for that one is the shoulder bridge. So I showed you this one before, right? It's you start like this, you hold onto your ankles, right? Okay? Your arms are on the ground. And again, you push your pelvis up as high as you can. So like this. And you come up on your shoulders. And then relax. Mm-hmm. Right? You come up on your shoulders, right? So you saw how I did it, right? Yeah, that's right. Just lift your pelvis up as high as you can. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, and then back down. So the wheel pose is almost the same thing, except this time you come right up on your hands. So you put your hands. So again, keep your heels up close to your buttocks. Right. Put your hands underneath your shoulders. Usually I do this in, the easiest way to do this is in a two-step process too, and at least when you're starting out. You can do it in one go once you're better, but I'll show you the simple two-step process. So the first thing you do is you come up onto your head, right? You rest on your head, so just like this. And then like that, okay? You can reposition your hands, go under your shoulders, right? And then from here you push with your hands and you go up all the way, right? So like that. And then you can just breathe normally in the final pose. Hold it for as long as you like. Get a good stretch in the back. And then come back down. Okay, you good? So that's the...
That is a limitation, I think, with this one for the lower back problems.
Yes, yeah. I mean...
Pardon, is it?
If you have any back problems, you have to be careful with these asanas, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so that's pretty much it for this book, for the at least for the advanced part of the course. Okay, I'll just move my bat around. You can change the zoom. Okay. So now we'll take a look at this book and the practices for month 7. Well, actually, the practices for month 7 are related to Bindu, right? So first they have there's a discussion of Bindu. So basically, we've actually finished all the chakras, actually. The remaining spiritual points that are used are kind of beyond the chakras, right? Bindu is the first one. It's referred to as the source of creation. It's beyond the realm of all conventional experience, right? And therefore, there's like not much written about it, actually. And we talked about it a bit last month, right? It's where the drop of nectar comes from Bindu down to Vishuddhi, right? And through that you can, eliminate your need for eating food, in fact, right? They also talk about, the digestive system is connected with Manipura chakra, right? The urogenital reproductive systems with Swadhisthana and Muladhara, right? Respiratory system here, the heart is associated with Anahata, right? And in the case of Bindu is like located at the, from the top of the head where your head kind of begins to curve back, right? Your head is flat on top. Then there's a point where it starts to curve back. So just at the back, just when it starts to curve at the back, just at the back of the head in the center. Just right when it begins to curve down, right? So up high, back at center. So it's from this point, it says that the cranial, the 10 paired cranial nerves, which emerge along the brain stem from their associated centers, are considered to have their origins within Bindu, right? The whole nasal, visual, nasal, auditory, and tasting systems are ultimately manifestations from a Bindu. So it controls this whole region of your head. The location I just showed you. So think about the location. Again, some swamis, they shave their heads and they keep one bit of hair, one tuft of hair just right on Bindu, and they braid it tight, right? And it goes down their back. I don't know if you've seen that. Yeah. Again, the idea here is when you braid it tight, it creates a pull. So you can actually feel, it makes it easy to meditate on that point then, because you can actually feel a pull from your hair, right?
In India, a lot of kids also,
that's right.
Adults also keep that thing.
Yes.
The reason is, the purpose is the same, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah. He goes on to say that many people have actually forgotten now in India why they do that. There's actually a spiritual point there. Same thing like that. This tikka here is the Brahmudi, right? Again, many people don't even know that though, right? It's just the custom, exactly.
The custom has been forgotten.
That's right, the original reason is forgotten. So, they also talk a little bit about the physical body anatomy. So, for example, Ajna chakra at the top of the spine is right where the pineal gland is, right? So similar, there's a gland here for Bindu up here as well. But he says here that there are no anatomy books that have actually identified it. Symbology is kind of interesting, right? So it's associated with the moon, right? The crescent moon. So if you look at the Om symbol, for example, so the Om symbol, right? Actually has above it is the crescent moon. In fact, all the chakras are represented in the Om symbol, he says, right? But, Bindu is above and separate from the whole symbol. It sits at the top as the crescent moon at the top, right?
Yeah,
so that represents Bindu, actually. Again, the seat of the nectar, we talked about that. He actually discusses that you can actually go, not only without food, but he says without oxygen, right? People have gone without food and without oxygen for 40 days, right? Using the power of Bindu. And he says, so when you do the, he describes the technique, right? The metabolism of the cells and the tissues of the body is suspended, right? In this way, oxygen is no longer required and cellular wastes are not produced, Therefore, the person who hibernates can live without breathing for an extended period of time. Even the facial hair does not grow during this period, right?
And they're sleeping for 40 days.
Hmm?
They're sleeping for 40 days.
Well, no, because when you're sleeping, your hair will still grow. You'll still breathe when you sleep, right? So they're saying you stop all metabolic.
So meditate for 40 days.
Even so meditate when you're breathing. You breathe when you meditate too, right?
But some of the same probably then.
So what they do physically, they cannot act and as
yeah,
usual.
Well,
you have to sit and
again, it requires it's about the it's about using Bindu and the nectar,
right?
And all of that, you have to again, it's a very specially elaborate technique to do that. It's very he's just mentioning it out of obscurity, right? Just to let you know the extent of that you can go to, but it's not something anybody else would normally do, right?
But they say, oh, this Swami has done this, that means they've been there for 20 days, 30 days, that means they're really using these techniques?
Maybe, you'd have to see. Everyone does something different, right? But this is one possible thing that sometimes they try and do, right? To go without breathing, like they hold their breath, actually, they just stop the breathing. And what they do is they...
In which pose they do that?
Hmm?
In meditation pose?
Yeah, meditation pose, yeah. Mm-hmm. You actually close off the nasal passages, in fact, right? So there's no air can go through, right? And so anyways, just an oddity there. So it's the So there's a couple of things. Like I said, it's the point of creation. It's also kind of a portal. It's the portal to the infinite, right? To the to all that is, right? It's the, you know, to God or whatever, right? And you know, and God or the infinite is kind of represented by, you know, Sahasra, which we'll talk about next month in more detail. But it's the portal to, you know, Sahasra, essentially. He talks a bit about how, you know, it's also the blueprint, right? So like how our DNA is the blueprint of our entire body, right? Of all of life. How, you know, the whole universe is created from like a seed from the in the Big Bang, right? That kind of concept is what Bindu is. It's the point of creation. He talks a little bit about the kind of the red and white, the male and female aspects of Bindu, like the, you know, the sperm and the ovum. So it's also connected with not only connected with Vishuddhi chakra, but it's also connected with the Swadhisthana, because it's, again, Swadhisthana is related with the sexual function and with creation as well, right? So there's a connection there too. Right, so the red Bindu is in the sun, the white Bindu is in the moon, and you try to bring them together, you try to create union, right? Right. And he who realizes the essential oneness of the two Bindus, when the red Bindu merges with the white Bindu, alone knows yoga. So it's actually we have some time before we get to these practices here. We'll do usual 5 minutes of you know, Nadi Shodhana, right? So again, Nadi Shodhana, I've covered it all completely, right? We've done the whole thing, we've added the three locks, we're pretty much, you know, the entire practice has been given, right? So just, and again, you keep progressing with your breath retention, right? So whatever level you're at, let's just, we'll do about 5 minutes. You sit in your yoga posture. Everyone should be, you know, been doing Nadi Shodhana now for 7 months, so everyone should be pretty familiar with it. Okay, so, again, just practice at your own pace, apply whatever locks you feel comfortable applying, and we'll go for about 5 minutes. Okay, just begin it whenever you like. so you can finish your last round. So there's several things about Bindu. I guess we'll assess them as we look at each of the practices. So I guess so one of the things, there's no you know how all the chakras have some point at the back and some point at the front, right? Bindu is no such case. There's no point up here. Just at the back of the head.
It's not across from this one.
No. Here, Ajna Chakra, the Brahmudhi is here, right?
This one here.
Yeah, there might be a minor point there, I'm not sure, but we don't, it's not used in these
practices. It looks like it's across from this, but...
Exactly, it's across from here. That's right, it's across from here, right? Yeah, at the back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but there's no, I don't think there's a spiritual point here, though. So,
that's the purpose of the Bindu. It's a point.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's no corresponding, like matter, antimatter, it's not, there's no... other corresponding Bindu.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, there's the red and the white that we talked about before, right?
Yeah, two different.
The sun and the moon, right? So, yeah. You know, so Bindu itself is generally associated with the white, the male, the sperm, that thing, mm-hmm. And red Bindu is the female, the sun, the ovum, and all of that. So. And it's actually Muladhara. It's actually where red Bindu is, and the white Bindu is here, and red Bindu is at Muladhara, right? So you unite those two, right? You bring the actually Muladhara. You bring the energy up to unite with Bindu at the top, right? That's the idea. But so, anyways, there's several practices given for to get sensitivity to Bindu, to bring in, to awaken it. The first one's called Murcha Pranayam. The fainting breath, right? So again, as you're saying, there's some contraindications for this one. You shouldn't have high blood pressure. You shouldn't have any kind of brain problem, right? So, this one involves try to kind of induce a fainting sensation. In fact, right? So you hold your breath basically for as long as you can, right? To try to induce that.
What's the advantage of that?
Clears the mind. You forget everything.
You faint your mind away.
Yeah. Because the biggest problem with yoga is you always are distracted by some other thought, right? There's always some distraction, some other thought coming into your head, right? See, the idea is to, be in the present moment, completely absorbed 100% in the present instant, right?
And this can only be achieved by practicing fainting.
Well, it's one of the techniques, right? It's one of the techniques, right? So, And again, this is particularly good for, awakening a Bindu at the back, right? So again, sit in Siddhasana. You body straight. You do Kacheri Mudra, right? So you fold the tongue up and back. Mm-hmm. Inhale with Ujjayi Pranayam, so you constrict the throat slightly, so you have a slight noise when you inhale. Right? So as you inhale, you tilt the head backwards, about this far, right? So again, it's not all the way back, it's about just up to here, right? About like this, right? And you do Shambhavi Mudra, right? So Shambhavi Mudra is where you cross your eyes and you try to look at this point here, right? So you kind of can use your finger, right, and kind of just bring your eyes to this point. Slow and deep inhalation. Lean backwards, not completely back. And then you hold your breath. After you do the inhale, you hold your breath for as long as you can, right? And you focus your attention. So you cross your eyes to look here, but your attention is focused at Bindu at the back of your head.
With open eyes?
Open eyes, yes.
Open eyes?
Yes, open eyes.
Oh, yes, I thought it was just closed
eyes. Yeah, no, open eyes. Your eyes are focused here. You're looking here. Okay. Your attention, you're concentrating on the back, on Bindu, looking here, right? And breath held inside, right? Arms are like locked. Arms are locked up, like that, okay? And then basically just hold it as long as you can. And then you exhale, right? Now you tilt your head forward, back again, right? And you can close your eyes at that point as well. Your eyes will need to rest too. After you're doing Shambhavi Mudra, your eyes will want to rest. You'll close your eyes. And again, just breathe a little bit. Relax for a short time, you know, and then you do it one more time. You keep repeating it, right? So you just relax, get your breathing back to normal, and then repeat, right? So we'll do a couple of those, you know. Generally, we'll practice this for like, you know, maybe five times or something. Five or ten times, depending how long you can hold your breath for. So again, just inhale with the J, Kacheri Mudra, right? Right? So that's pretty much it. You just repeat that a few times, do it for about 5 minutes, right?
It should not be probably done in this light.
That's right, I was noticing that too.
too bright.
The light in your eyes, yeah. At home I do it in the dark, right?
Yeah, it's like,
you know, yeah.
Early morning with.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So the next practice is, again, this is the one for, if you remember, for Svadhisthana Chakra, Vajroli or Sahajroli Mudra. This is where you sit in Siddhasana again as usual. Close the eyes this time, right? So you take awareness to the urethra, the urinary tract, right? And you contract it, right? So it's like you're holding back, like when you hold back the urination, right? So when you're urinating, when you hold it back, those muscles, since you contract, right? So you contract those muscles as much as you can, like you try to hold that contraction for about 10 seconds, right? Again, don't do Mula Bandha or Ashwini Mudra, just the urinary tract. You're trying to isolate those muscles and contract that, right? And hold it. Bring your attention to Svadhisthana on the spine, right? Just right at the base of the spine. And repeat three times, right? Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana, Svadhisthana. And then draw your awareness up the spine. Move your mind up the spine, right? All the way up, 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 up to Bindu, right? Once your awareness is at Bindu, you repeat Bindu three times. Bindu, 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 right? Mentally, just mentally repeat, right? And then bring your awareness back down. Okay, to Svadhisthana. And then release the contraction. So the whole thing should take about 10 seconds. You hold the contraction three times, repeat, mentally repeat here, take awareness up, three times repeat here, mentally go down, and then release the contraction. Right? So release the contraction and just relax for another, you know, 5 or 10 seconds. And then you would repeat, you would hold the contraction, do it again, right? Again, another one, you just do it for about 5 minutes or so. So again, we'll try it once, right?
Breathing?
Breathe normally. Mm-hmm. The main thing is just to focus on that contraction. So that's basically that one. And again, you'll feel you know, between those two practices alone, I find that you know you're able to start to become sensitive to Bindu. So the next three practices all go together. Three and four, right? There's two more practices. But the next practice, you actually start off with Brahmari Pranayam. If you remember that one, that was the one where you, the humming bee breath, right? You close your ears, you just hum very softly, and then you'll hear that, you hear that in your head, right? Right? It becomes quite loud in your head. So you do that for a few minutes first, just to begin with. And then you just, and then you stop that and you keep listening, right? With the ears plugged. You just keep listening and you'll, again, in my case, I hear a lot of different sounds, right? you'll have to see what you hear. I hear like a low rumbling, everything from like a low rumbling, very low, to very high pitched whine. You know, I hear and everything in between, right? So some will be loud, some will be quiet. Again, I'm not sure what your experience will be. It's hard to say, you know, I mean, you'll have to see for yourself what you're going to hear. And basically the idea is you you focus on, you know, on the loud sound, the loudest sound, let's say. Spend some time, you know, maybe a minute or so focusing on that one. And then you see, then you search for what other sound, and then you take your attention to the second loudest sound, right? Focus on that one for a minute. And you keep going to the more quieter, and then you search for what is the next most quiet sound, and then you move your attention to that sound.
But then after some time, it just the voice will go away because you're not humming anymore.
Yeah. No. You stop humming. You do only the humming for like a couple of minutes.
Exactly. And then after
then you stop the humming, and then you just listen, right? Just listen to what you hear. So.
But the noise level will.
So I guess so. It says some people will hear nothing, right? Some people won't hear anything, right? Their ears are plugged. They don't hear anything. Again, my case is that, this is the game I used to play when I was a kid, actually. This is something I did as a kid. I would plug my ears and just listen to the sounds. Probably, you know, something from my past life memory of doing this yoga. I didn't know at that time it was a yoga practice, but I probably might have done it in my past life or something, right? So, I mean, I had a lot of sounds right off the bat, right? So, again, if you don't hear anything, just listen, you know, in silence. Just listen to the sound. I mean, they talk about the sound of silence, right? I don't know if you heard of that or ever heard it. Whenever it's like quiet, you hear something. There's no real sound, but you're hearing something. I don't know, have you experienced that, anybody? No? The sound of silence? No?
I think I've noticed it before, but not anymore. Don't get
Okay.
Get the free time anymore.
Yeah. So anyways, again, you eventually go back to the sound of creation, right? You'll actually eventually hear the sound like Om. Om is the sound of creation. You'll actually kind of hear that, you know, in the nothingness, right? In the silence. You'll hear a sound in the silence, right? And you may hear a lot of sounds. I hear a lot of sounds, for example. Like I said, it says that you'll hear sounds. You'll hear like a lot of sounds, one after another, right? And you keep going deeper and deeper into your being and into your mind, right? As you go to every subtler and more subtle and subtle sounds, right? So, anyways, try it, right? It says it may take you many weeks, right? It requires over weeks and months, right, to start to perceive these sounds, right? And again, everyone's different, right, depending on what your past experience has been, right? Past lives, what you've done and all that, right? So, but give it a try. This is, again, the sound of creation is also associated with the creation is what Bindu is all about, right? So,
we don't concentrate on Bindu, we just listen.
Yeah, so what you'll find though, what you'll experience is that the sounds will be in different parts of your head. Maybe at this close to this ear, maybe near this ear, maybe this ear. But eventually you'll get to a sound which is coming from Bindu. You'll hear a sound right at Bindu, right? And that's the idea. Because that's the source of creation, the sound of creation will come from here, right? So, but again, wherever in your head you hear a sound, just focus on the sound. Actually, that's the main thing, I think, is just the sound itself. And keep searching for the next more subtle sound, right? The final practice is, I'll explain these last two practices because they kind of go together. So you've got your ears plugged already, right? So this one actually, there's a couple different hand positions here. Let's talk about the hand positions, because this last one has a very specific hand position. So again, you can do this one with your index fingers, right? Again, I showed you with index from Bhramari Pranayama, where you're humming and elbows out, right? Your arms will tend to get tired, right? So if you can do this, I mean, like again, it'll build up your muscles, right? If you can do this for like 10-15 minutes, hold your arms out like that, right? But they give another very, in this book actually, it's Nada Yoga. I mean, I don't know if you remember, we kind of passed through fairly quickly because again, it's in the wrong place. But you can go back and read the chapters on Nada. There's two lessons on Nada Yoga in here. They explain this in more detail. But they give another alternate hand position where you put your thumbs in your ears. And you just, and then you rest your hands in your head, right? So like this kind of, you know, and no glasses, right? Right, so...
But you don't change positions in the middle of practice. It's either one way or the other way. Right?
That's right. So, you know, I mean... so the thing is, because the last practice, right? The last practice, you have to go with your thumbs, right? So I'll just show you the hand position here, right? The hand position here is actually, not only do you close your ears, but they call it the closing the seven gates, right? So all the senses of perception. So you put your fingers on your eyes, you actually hold your breath too, you close your nostrils with these fingers, these two close your eyes, these ones close your nostrils, and you put these two on your lips, like that, right? So it's like, you know? So I'll just demonstrate, right? So two on your lips, two covering your nose, two on your eyes, and then your thumbs go in your ears, right?
And humming is also...
Right? So just like that. So you're not breathing as well. And again, same thing. You just listen to the sounds, right? When you stop the breathing as well, the sound of breathing goes away too, right? So then you can really focus on the silence.
Inhaling and stopping.
Exactly, right? So I'll talk about that one a bit too. So again, you sit in Siddhasana, same asana, right? Actually, do you do Kachari Mudra in here? I was just looking for that one, I think. No Kachari Mudra. So inhale slowly and deeply, right? Again, hold as much air as you can. Then you close the seven gates. And then hear the sounds, right? And they say at this point you should really focus. Then here now, for this final practice, you do focus on Bindu, right? Or actually it says even the middle of the head or the right ear, actually anywhere you hear the sound coming from. And you hold your breath for as long as you can, and then when you can't anymore, you release your middle fingers and you exhale. And then just once your breathing is back to normal, you repeat. Right? And then just about the sounds, about continuing to search for the more subtle sound, essentially, right? Because there'll be I can only go by my own experience where I have like loud sounds, right? I do this and right away, almost immediately, I will start to hear a lot of sounds. So there'll be a very loud sound and then there'll be a more quieter sound. So then you focus on the loud sound and then go to the next quieter sound. And then after you focus on the next one, you'll see there's an even more quiet sound. Then you go to the next more quiet sound, right? And then after that one, you'll see there's another more quiet sound, and you keep going, right?
And you are still hearing the...
Yeah, exactly. You're still hearing all the sounds, but you focus your attention on the ever more quiet sound, right? Again, that's my experience.
Practice.
That's my experience.
This required practice also probably considering on the...
Mm-hmm. And again, it's important too to, you know, again, if you have any other noise, so again, early in the morning, right? Everyone's asleep. The house is quiet, right? You know, again, I have the windows closed, so there's no outdoor sound, even though birds or nothing either, right? So it's quiet, silence, and then close your ears to make it even more quiet, and then you just listen, right? So silence and you listen. So we can do this give it a try for like 5 minutes, right? So do like 2 minutes. I'll tell you when to switch to the breath retention one. So we'll start off like just humming, slight humming, and then I'll tell you when to switch to each one, right? So again, you can do fingers or thumbs, whichever you prefer, right? I'll go with thumbs. Okay, now leave the humming and go to the just silence. and try closing the seven gates.
I remember this noise, something tick 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 tick. It's like a steam engine probably, or like something like.
Yes, yeah, all kinds of noises.
But I hear more on my right hand, like just really close to my right.
No, actually it says right ear is one of the common places you'll hear noises.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it says in here. Middle of the head or perhaps the right ear,
yeah.
Right? It says specifically that. So that's it for the practices for bending. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so I guess that's it for this class. We'll see you next month for the last class. Okay, thanks.
Do we get a certificate for completing?